I want to begin in Hebrews chapter 10 and the last verses there. He says in verse 35, "Therefore do not throw away your confidence, which has a great reward, for you have need of endurance, so that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what was promised." And then he quotes from Habakkuk 2, "For yet a little while he who is coming will come and will not delay. My righteous one shall live by faith." That's a very famous quote. "The just shall live by faith," is quoted in Paul's writings. And if he shrink back, my soul will have no pleasure in him. He has to live by faith. And if he shrinks back, my soul will have no pleasure. "But we are not of those," Paul writes, "who shrink back to the destruction, but of those who have faith to the preserving of the soul." We're not of those. We have to have faith preserving our soul. Chapter 11, verse 1. "Now faith," and he goes on to explain, "is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen." I've expounded this earlier. "For by it the men of old," you know, the heroes, the men of old, "gained approval." They gained approval by their faith and virtually little else, not their skills, not this, not that, by their faith. "By faith we understand that the worlds were prepared by the word of God, so that what is seen is not made out of the things which are visible." By faith, and then he goes on, and we talked about how Cain or Abel offered a better sacrifice than Cain. By faith, he was righteous. He walked with God. And even though he is dead, he still speaks. By faith, Enoch was taken up and walked with God. We talked about that last week. Enoch was removed. He was taken out of the area because he was a preacher of righteousness. He spoke things and he was pleasing to God. He walked with God. He left a witness. And then in verse 6, we have this statement in verse 6. "But without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who seek him." So now he comes to the next person by faith. And here's a guy, the third hero of faith in this group of the what we call the men of old, the elders, men of old, it says, had a good report. These people got a good report, gained approval, it says. So in chapter 11, it's fitting that here's a guy, was the builder of the ark, one of the greatest construction projects in all of the scriptures, and it's Noah. Chapter 11 of Hebrews, verse 6. "Without faith, it's impossible to please him." But verse 7, "By faith, Noah, being warned by God about things not yet seen." I want to read this whole verse, then we'll go back and parcel it here. This is chapter 11 of Hebrews and verse 7. "By faith, Noah, being warned by God about things not yet seen, in reverence he prepared an ark for the salvation of his household, by which he condemned the world and became an heir of the righteousness which is according to faith." Now, here in Hebrews, we're talking about the righteousness which is by faith, according to faith. All right, so let's take a look. He was warned by whom? By God. Now, if I know a warning is coming, and I know this is God telling me, I can pretty much have a lot of trust in that warning. I can have a lot of faith in that warning. Now, last week, I was up in Santa Barbara for a wedding, and the forecast ahead of time, almost even a day or two ahead of time, was still that it was going to rain. It was going to be an outdoor wedding, late in the afternoon. But When we get there, there was no rain, not a cloud in the sky. It was always beautiful. The whole thing was merry. So they were warning us it's going to rain. It didn't happen. People have warned about different things, warned about hurricanes that didn't really happen the way they thought. You've been warned, you know, government warning this and this and that, and it didn't happen the way that we thought. So there's all kinds of warnings. You know, they raise the red, the you know, the, what they call the alert, the terrorist alert goes up high, and then all of a sudden you get nothing. And, you know, every year they, at the Rose Parade, they think somebody's going to bomb it. It doesn't happen. But the warning is there. But this is a warning you can heed because it came from God. It did not come from forecasters. It did not come from wild, sensational people. I remember warnings back in the 70s. Sell what you have. Get it out of the banks. Don't leave your money in the banks. There's going to be a big bank crash. Don't do that. Buy silver, buy gold, but don't leave it in the banks. Don't put it in money market funds. You know what happened to people that often did that? They suffered a loss of interest and putting it in the stock market. They could have made all kinds of money, but they put it in silver and gold. It didn't go up that fast and that far to reap much. And then you got to sell it at the right time and all this stuff. So warnings from general society, warnings from educational institutions. Well, this study has given us a warning that there's going to be a warning about flu seasons, warning about this, warning about that. We've had a lot of warnings in our lives. But this came from God, okay? Being warned by God. Now, you can put your trust in that warning. And here was the situation in Noah's day. Chapter 6 of Genesis, beginning in verse 5. Then the Eternal saw that the wickedness of man was great on the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Now you can imagine, people, all they're doing is doing something evil, constantly. The Eternal was sorry that he had made man on the earth, and he was grieved in his heart. Imagine, here's God who made man, and what do? They turn out to be very evil. The Eternal said, I will blot out man whom I have created from the face of the land, from man to animals, to creeping things, and to birds of the sky. I am sorry that I have made them. Wow. You got to really be disappointing to God for him to say, I'm sorry. Because, what's the first chapter of Genesis say? And God looked at everything and he said, what? It's all very good. He didn't say, it's very bad. This is imperfect. No, he says, it's all very good. Now, animals have no free will, specifically. They are programmed in their brain. Dogs, cats, they know what's good for them. You have a little dog, it kind of smells, and I don't like that. It's not going to be good. I like that. That's good. Now that's good for me. And they know, I know that people who make dog food never try to deceive the dogs, but the dog pretty much knows what's good for it and what's not. So here's God. I'm sorry, I'm sorry I even made man. I made them. But Noah found favor in the eyes of God. And now we pick it up, Genesis 6, now in verse 9. These are the records of the generations of Noah. Noah was righteous, a righteous man, blameless in his time. Noah walked with God. I'm reading from the New American Standard Version. Noah walked with God. He walked with God. What's that mean when you walk with God? You're following God's path. You're having fellowship with God. You're walking with God. I'm going God's way. I'm going to go the God's way. Noah became the father of three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Now, dropping down again in verse 11. Now, the earth was corrupt in the sight of God, and the earth was filled with violence. God looked on the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, and all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. Then God said to Noah, the end of all flesh has come before me. For the earth is filled with violence because of them, and behold, I am about to destroy them with the earth. I'm going to destroy all these people who have free moral agency, who can choose morality. You know, dogs are amoral. They're not immoral. They don't have a moral code. They just do what dogs do. That's all. Birds do what birds do. You know, horses do what horses do. They just do what they do. But God says about the people, no, it was filled with violence. Make yourself an ark of gopher wood. You shall make the ark with rooms and shall cover it inside and out with pitch, something that will prevent the water from seeping in. You've got to cover that with pitch so it's not leaking, it doesn't sink. This is how you shall make it. The length of the ark, 300 cubits. That's 450 feet. A cubit is about 18 inches. 450 feet long. I don't know, 450 feet is pretty good long. It's pretty long. It's a pretty big ship. Its breadth, 50 cubits. That's 70, you know, that's, what is it, 65, what is it, 1.5 times, that's 75 feet in breadth, and 30 cubits high, 45 feet high. I don't know how high the ceiling is here, but I doubt it's 45 feet. So you have four and a half stories high. This is how he was supposed to make it. Now, I will say this. I'm glad God didn't ask me to do this. Might as well put a gun to my head and shoot me, because I have no carpentry skills. I know that, you know, Dan Reed might have been able to do it. Steve Reed could do it. Some of the other guys are very good at carpentry. Maybe Cora could do it because he's good at all those paintings and everything. But I don't think I could do that. Pitch? How do I make pitch? The first thing was, where do I get this gopher wood? Well, how can I tell it? And so, you know, you have to be very skilled. The man, now, maybe he had people that he hired. Okay. No, I'd probably go out and say, you know, gopher wood, you know, can you get me some? Can you? Here's what the plans are. Like, can you help me do this? And I'll pay you. You know, we'll have to have a price. In the book of 2 Peter chapter 2, so, for if God did not spare the angels who sinned, but cast them into Tartaru, that is their jail, and committed them to pits of darkness reserved for judgment, and if he did not spare the ancient world, but preserved Noah, a preacher of righteousness, and seven others, when he brought the flood upon the world of the ungodly. It's referred to in the New Testament. Noah was a preacher of sorts. He was testifying. You can imagine arguments. You can imagine people talking. You're building this gigantic ship, a giant place. And it took him a long time. What was it, 120 years, something, to build this ark. That would take me 1,000. I'd have to live to be 1,000 years. But he built it in 120 years. He built this. You can imagine. And notice, if you read the passage here in Hebrews, okay, let me read it again. This is verse 7. By faith, Noah, being warned by God about things not yet seen. You see, notice that phrase? Not yet seen. Now, I take it that Noah did not live by the sea. He was probably inland. There was no sea. There was little water, bodies of water. There was hardly no body of water. You're building this giant ship in the middle. It'd be like you go out here in the desert and you're building this big giant ship, and you're saying, well, I want to float this. Pretty soon there's going to be a lot of water here. And people would look at you and probably wonder a little bit about your sanity. Okay, that's number one. They'd wonder about your sanity. But look at this passage in the book of Genesis, because you'll see how rare it was to have all kinds of water. Notice Genesis chapter 2 and verse 5. After God had made man, after he had made the creation, now it said this, Genesis 2, verse 5. Now no shrub of the field was yet in the earth, and no plant of the field had yet sprouted. For the Lord God had not sent rain upon the earth. I mean, in the first six chapters of Genesis, you didn't have what we call a lot of rain. There wasn't a lot of rain pouring down. And up to chapter 2, there wasn't a lot of rain. Now, I'm sure there was rain between chapter 2 and chapter 6, but nothing like something that had never been seen. It says he's going to do what in verse 7? About things not yet seen. Never saw a flood. Never saw gigantic floods from hurricanes and all that. Not yet seen. People had not ever seen this. So no shrub of the field had done, for the Lord had not sent rain upon the earth. And there was no man to cultivate the ground, but a mist used to rise from the earth and the water and to water the whole surface of the ground. So a lot of the time there was mist, there was dew, there was something else, but they weren't experiencing a lot of rain. And when they said, well, man, you remember the flood last year? No, they didn't have flood. They didn't see that. Things not yet seen. So Noah's faith, Noah, build this ship because there's going to come a flood, and I'm going to wipe out all the people. God said to Noah, the end of flesh is near the earth, and violent because of the violence, make yourself this ark, make yourself this thing I've go for wood, and save your family and save you. Because I'm going to wipe out everybody else. Now you're saying, okay, we have a timeline. You say, I don't know, it's all going to take, whenever you get it done, get it done. A warning of things not yet seen. That's a real test of faith. So if he's going to conduct his life by faith in God, he would have to believe some things that were going to happen that no man had ever seen happen before. He had to believe something was going to take place that had never taken place before. No one had ever seen it take place before. But Noah said, I believe it. I believe God is right, and he's going to do this. Noah had no precedent for this flood warning. There were no floods before. The only thing Noah had to support this warning was the fact that it was God's word. It was God's word. It was God telling him, I'm giving you this warning, what I'm going to do. Now, faith, he's moving along. Now, notice what it says here. He was warned by faith, okay? And what did he do as a result of being warned by faith? He prepared an ark. That's what he did. In chapter 11, verse 7, he prepared an ark. Faith will always be tested. Building a huge boat on dry land with no body of water close was probably, I'm sure he endured mocking, ridicule. He was the brunt of all kinds of jokes. How long has this been going on? Amen. This guy's been working at this. We haven't had hardly any rain. There's not been anything here. He thinks he's going to float this. Can you imagine? And that's a test of Noah's faith. He keeps, how long? Now, you know, we often, and the next guy of faith is going to be Abraham. You know, Abraham was promised what? A son? How long did he wait for that promise? At age 75, he was promised, he didn't get the son until he was 100. That's 25 years of waiting and faith. I know God's going to give it to me. I know God's going to give it to me. I trust God. I know I'm going to get it. Walking with God and believing God, something that has not yet happened. But think of Noah. 120 years. I got to get this done. No sign of rain. We haven't had much flooding in here. We haven't had anything. No sign. I'm going to keep on going. I'm going to keep on going. I don't know when it's going to happen, but I got to keep on. I got to believe something is going to happen that never happened before. I got to keep believing it year after year after year after decade after, you know, what they call it, four score, after score of years. And he keeps believing it. Now, people who are unconverted don't like God's way. In that time, there were many. They didn't like God's way. So you know they were scoffers. They were wicked. They were nasty jokes. There were people who chided him, testing his faith even more. No! Are you insane? We've never had any. We barely get enough rain to subsist out here in the semi-desert land, and you're worried about a flood. How are you going to drag this thing? Are you going to float this to an ocean? What are you going to do? You can't even drag. You build this thing. It's so big. We can see the outline of it. We can see how long it's going to be. We can see how wide it's going to be. We can see how high it's going to be. How are you going to get this to water? Are you crazy? Yeah. So Noah was the butt of a lot of jokes. Now the Bible says, by faith Noah, being warned about things not yet seen, prepared an ark for the salvation of his household, or the King James, I think, to the saving of his house. The ark was provided for deliverance, for salvation. That is, saving him, saving his life, saving his kids' lives. All that were in the ark when the great judgment of the deluge came upon the earth were just 8 people. The message from Noah, the proclamation that the world, to the world about the ark, being the means of being saved from the judgment of God, was not well received. People didn't, you know, I mean, he was preaching, but how many people said, hey, you know what? I believe you. I believe that that God has spoken to you. You have been a faithful person. I want to join you. I want to get on the ark with you. How many people got on the ark? Only 8. Okay? Only 8. Only 8 people. You see in chapter 7, and only Noah remained alive and those that were with him. Now Noah, this is chapter 7 of Genesis, and Noah went in and his sons and his wife and his sons' wives with him into the ark. And Noah only remained alive. And they that were with him. Only Noah and those that were with him. He had 3 sons. They had wives. That's 6, and Noah and his wife. That's 8. 8 people. He did not convert very many people in 120 years of preaching righteousness. They turned away. They did not believe it. They didn't care about it. And they left. Now, the greatest blessing that a person who is the head of the house can have is to have faith. And how do we describe faith in the book of Hebrews? Faith is believing and trusting what God says and acting upon that trust. That's what faith is. By faith, you see, notice verse 4, by faith Abel offered to God. By faith Enoch was taken up. By faith, Noah, being warned, prepared an ark. What did he do by his faith? He prepared an ark with his faith. In other words, the faith that you trust in God's word impels you. It's the power to make you, that doesn't force you, but it's the power behind that faith that makes you want to do what God says. You trust God, therefore you do what God says. Here in the book of 1 Peter chapter 3. And by the way, I was saying, the head of any household, what a great example of faith. The greatest blessing that a household can have is to have the head of it be a person of faith. Not fame, not fortune, no, not notoriety, but faith. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18. For Christ also died once and for all, the just for the unjust, so that he might bring us to God, having been put to death in the flesh and made alive in the spirit, in which he went and made proclamation to the spirits now in prison, who once were disobedient when the patience of God kept waiting in the days of Noah. Notice, the patience of God kept waiting. What are you waiting for? Waiting for Noah to finish the ark. Long time. Good thing, as I said, it's a good thing a person like me wasn't chosen to do that ark, because I think I would have tried God's patience throughout. He would have said, you know, forget you then. You know, here comes the flood. You're going with it. But the patience of God kept waiting in the days of Noah during the construction of the ark, in which a few, that is, eight persons, were brought safely through the water. Now, Peter tells us something corresponding to that. Baptism now saves you. They were saved by being in that ship of water. Baptism corresponding saves you. Not the removal of dirt from the flesh, but an appeal to God for a good conscience through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So baptism corresponds to what saved Noah. Noah, he was saved through this water and through the ark, and you will be saved through the baptism. That's what 1 Peter tells us. Now, let's read verse 7 again. By faith, Noah, being warned by God, not just anybody, you know, I mean, I take a warning from somebody, warned by God, about things not yet seen. That means a lot of faith. You got to believe God. In reverence, prepared an ark. That's what he did with his faith. He prepared an ark for the salvation of his household, by which that ark condemned the world. By which he condemned the world. The by which refers to primarily his faith and you cannot separate his faith from his preparation of the ark. If he did not prepare the ark, he wouldn't have had any faith. He would have said, I'm not going to do it. That's no faith, right? He doesn't trust God. He doesn't believe God. He doesn't follow through with God. Through which he prepared. So this is primarily a faith because the ark was the result of his faith. How did that ark get there? He believed God and then said, okay, I've got to prepare an ark. Noah's ark and Noah's faith are inseparable. The ark then condemned, see, by which he condemned through that ark the whole rest of the world who did not have faith. The ark was the evidence of Noah's faith. If there was no ark, you would have said he didn't believe God. He didn't trust God. He didn't do what God asked. But because he did trust God, he went ahead and built the ark. So it was a different time. Jesus referred to that time a little bit. You see in the book of Matthew chapter 24, he says this in verse 37, "For the coming of the Son of Man will be just like the days of Noah. For in those days, before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage In other words, they were carrying on all normal human activity. What do we see in our society? People are eating. You get up in the morning when you want some breakfast, right? It comes lunchtime, you look at your clock. Hey, it's noon. I think I'd like to have a bite of lunch. And it comes dinner time. What are we going to have for dinner? We're going to have something to dinner. Eating and drinking. You like to have something to drink. You like to have some wine. You like to have some of this. You want to have a beer and so on. Yeah, we have things that we do on a regular basis, eating and drinking. Marrying. You know, I was just at a wedding last week. Marrying and giving in marriage. You know, here's my daughter. Marrying and giving in marriage. Okay? They were marrying and they were being given in marriage until all these things are normal human activities. Now, here's Noah. Was Noah doing a normal human activity? No. It is not normal to be building an ark in an area where there's no water. It is not normal to be building an ark where there has not been a flood. It is not normal for you to be building this giant ship that would take a lot of water to float in an area that has no water. You got to be out of your... You're not normal. The rest of us are normal. We're eating, we're drinking, we're marrying, giving in marriage. We're doing all the normal things that people do. And Noah, you're not normal. You're continuing with this. And when people asked him, I am sure because he was a preacher of righteousness, he said, I've been warned of God. You look at our society. Yes, you're doing a lot of normal things, but look at the violence. You cheat each other. You kill each other. Is this group going to kill that person? Is these people doing that? Is these people, in terrible degradation of immorality? There's people in violence, violence, violence. Anytime you insult somebody, they want to kill you. They shoot you. They don't shoot you. They might cut your head off, drill a hole in your head, and do that, and crush your skull. Yeah, there's all this immorality, and God's going to destroy this. God's going to destroy it here. That's why I'm doing this. I want to be saved when God sends a flood. And they'd say, when's the last time we ever saw a flood? When's the last time we ever saw a flood? Where are you going to get water, Noah? I mean, look at the sky. They only hardly ever have a cloud here. This is desert country, semi-desert country. We don't get many floods here. You know, if you go to Israel and you go into Jerusalem, it's about the same longitude, I think, I don't know if it's longitude, or latitude, I think it's latitude, that we are. And the conditions in the evening, Jerusalem gets cool. And it can be very hot during the day, but once the sun goes down, that's semi-desert. Same way here, although we've changed the sort of the climate here because we've imported so much water and everybody wants to water lawns and they want to have fountains and they have swimming pools, so we get a lot of water going up into the atmosphere. So, but originally here, this was semi-desert. We get some water in the winter time, but not a lot. I mean, you know, we hope sometimes we pray for water, you know, keep your fingers crossed, and we hope that we get a lot of water because we have been in a drought for several years. Luke chapter, this is Matthew. Matthew chapter 24, reading verse 38 and 39 now. And they did not understand until the flood came. Okay, notice in the next verse 38, for in those days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day Noah entered the ark. And they did not understand until the flood came. I mean, Noah got in the ark. They didn't understand. And they did not understand until the flood came and took them all away. So will the coming of the Son of Man be. Chapter 17 of Luke, he says pretty much the same thing. And just as it happened in the days of Noah, so it will be also in the days of the Son of Man. They were eating, they were drinking, they were marrying, they were being given in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all. So here's what happened. They didn't listen to him. They had no belief in the future. They had no faith from any word of God. None. He's saying, I had a word from God that this is going to happen. And they said, no, you didn't. I don't believe you, even though he was there. What this verse is saying is that Noah's faith, as seen in building the ark, brought condemnation. You see what it says? Let's go to chapter 11, verse 7 now. By faith, Noah, being warned by God about things not seen, in reverence prepared the ark for the salvation of his house, by which, that preparing the ark, by which he condemned the world and became the heir of righteousness according to faith. He condemned the world. See, that faith that he had in the building of the ark brought condemnation upon an unbelieving world. They did not. I mean, you see it day after day, year after year. I mean, people have probably lived and died during the time Noah was building the ark. There are probably people who grew up and maybe something happened to them, got a disease or something, and they lived and they died. And he's still building the ark. And he became an heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. Do you remember this passage? One of the great passages of the Old Testament, and it's severely, strongly, and often quoted in Paul's epistles. Here it is. Genesis chapter 15, verse 6, one of the great passages quoted in the New Testament. And Abraham believed God, believed the Eternal, and it was counted to him for righteousness. Faith is considered, counted as righteousness. It's attributed. It is imputed. That's what King James uses the word imputed a lot. You'll see it in the book of Romans, chapter 4. A very strong passage is here of justification through faith. For now, he says, apart from the law, I'm reading verse 21 now, Romans chapter, let me read beginning in verse 1. What shall we say then? This is that Abraham, our forefather, according to the flesh, has found. For if Abraham was justified by works, he has something to boast about, but not before God. But what does the scripture say? Here it is. He's quoting now Genesis 15, verse 6. Abraham believed God, and it was credited, imputed, counted to him as righteousness. Counted. And so here's Noah before Abraham's time. And in Hebrews chapter 11, it says, and he became the heir of righteousness, which is according, it's attributed by faith. So in Abraham's case, he believed God. He believed God about a miracle of the birth of his son Isaac. In Noah's case, he believed God about a warning of the great flood. And the Apostle Paul says they both were justified, in a sense, justified by, made righteous on the basis of faith. Now, if you don't have faith, if you can't have faith and trust in God, how can you stand before God? You're saying, I don't believe you. I don't believe what God says. That's the greatest insult that you could ever give to God. I don't believe what God says. That's the greatest insult you could possibly give, because God's word is so absolute. He can swear by no greater. When God gives you his word, he doesn't have to promise over and over, but he sometimes does, so you get the effect. But God says it, it is true. That's the one thing we have to know. God says it. So Noah and Abraham are said to be justified by their faith, and in that way they gained righteousness. Noah was a preacher of righteousness, but he gained righteousness through his faith. You and I have to have faith. in things that we haven't seen. We believe there was a man who died on the cross. We believe that man's blood cleanses us from our sins. We never saw it. We haven't handled it. We never touched him. We never spoke to him. But we believe it. That's faith that moves us to righteousness.